Today I'm gonna write the story of my life.
Welcome to the Life and Times Of, a program where we get to meet some extraordinary people and find out about their life and times. It's also about the music that has moved them, motivated, or even just be there to help them get through a time in their life. I'm Stephen Brown. With me today is Ken Gates. Thank you, Ken, for being here today. Ken is a person who has conquered pretty much everything in music and now is on the path to conquer a health battle. Let's start where we always do, with the question that some may ask at the end, but I want to know now. Have you had a good time overall, and could you give your life a rating out of 10, 10 being fabulous, book me a ticket on the next ride?
I've had a great time, Stephen. Yes, I've made some mistakes, but I can't say I've learned from them, but I certainly wouldn't change anything I've done.
Your first piece of music is the song Beautiful Dreamer. Why this?
It's the first song I really learned to play on a harmonica. Harmonica is my first instrument, and it's a beautiful harmonica song and beautiful words as well. So, yeah, Beautiful Dreamer is a really good way to look at life.
You were born in Australia. Whereabouts?
I was born in Marrickville 84 years ago, so a long time ago. Things were a lot different.
What was Marrickville like 84 years ago?
Well, I lived in Dulwich Hill. Marrickville's a suburb near Dulwich Hill. And, it was actually western suburbs in those days. Now it's inner city. The city's grown so big. It was just a working suburb. I went to school at Hurlston Park, Yeo Park, and then Summerhill, and then Enmore High. I went to Enmore High as a senior. And I worked in Marrickville as a motor mechanic apprentice and a motor mechanic.
Your parents, were they musically inclined?
No. Well, my father had a good voice, but they never played music.
So what drew you to music?
Well, I could always sing. My voice is not good now, but I always had a fairly good voice, and I used to sing at church and what have you. But I never played a musical instrument until towards my 50s. That's when I started the harmonica.
What age were you when you left school, and what was your first job?
Virtually, I was an apprentice mechanic when I turned 16, and I worked on trucks. It was a trucking firm, and they were all really old trucks. I mean, this is 1955, 56, and they were actually, a lot of the trucks were actually Second World War trucks that, you know, from the war. They were Internationals and GMCs and old Chevys, and they were completely different to what we have nowadays. And it was really hands-on mechanicking. You listened, and you sometimes used a stethoscope to listen to what the engine was doing. And there was no computers or anything like that. It was all just experience. And we used to make everything, build everything, pull engines to pieces and rebuild them. And we even made cranes. Built cranes out of the trucks, you know, made cranes, and yeah, it was very hands-on stuff.
Your second piece is Ashokan Farewell.
Ashokan Farewell, yeah. And again, that comes from the harmonica, a beautiful harmonica song. It's in the key of D, and I actually spent more than $200 to buy a chromatic harmonica to play it properly in the key of D. To play it. It's just one note in the whole song that you can't play with a normal harmonica, and it was worth the $200 to play it. I married, I was 24 when I got married, and we immediately moved to Nowra, and I worked for Nowra Truck and Farm in Nowra. They were opposite where Kmart, where there was no Kmart, there was just cow paddocks in those days, and they were there near the where the Ford building is, the Ford mechanics are now. That was where now a truck and farm were, and that was just big paddocks all across the road. They used to flood when there was floods. That would all just fill up with water. We couldn't believe they were going to build a shopping centre there because it used to go underwater whenever it really flooded.
And children?
My eldest daughter was born 2 or 3 years later. When I was 28, she was born, and we immediately moved back to Sydney. I'd been driving a truck, and I'd put on a lot of muscle, and I was big enough to join the police force. In those days, the police force had a height, weight standard, and I was always tall enough, but I was a skinny thing when I was younger. But driving the truck put on a lot of muscle, and I got heavy enough to be accepted in the police force. I was 28 then.
And how long were you with the police?
I was 10 years. I had to move back to Sydney. I was stationed in Sydney, number 2 division in Sydney. That's in Regent Street. I did general duties in a little while, and then I went into traffic. In those days in Sydney, it's hard to believe, but there wasn't any traffic lights or hardly any traffic lights. And on every intersection, there was a policeman directing traffic, and every hour he'd be changed over. There's a policeman working on every intersection, and so the traffic sections were big. There was 40 police in Regent Street traffic, just directing traffic, not policing, but just directing traffic. And so I was in the traffic in Regent Street. Gradually, traffic lights came in this time, and after about 4 years, 3 or 4 years, we were overrun with traffic lights, and so they didn't need such a big traffic section, and we dispersed, and I went into the breath analysis section. That's when breath analysis was just starting off. I was in the second class of breath analysis instructors or testers, and I worked the rest of my service in the breath analysis section.
And when did you leave the cops and come back to the South Coast?
When I was 38, so on my 40th birthday, I moved back to St George's Base, and I had property down, or a block of land and a shed, and I moved down here then, and that's where I've been ever since.
When did the music become an important part of your life?
Well, of course, I always liked singing, but I never had much time. I was just busy working all my life. I didn't have time to go to concerts or anything.
Your third piece is Paul Robeson's Joe Hill. Why that piece?
Well, yeah, that's interesting because I'd started playing harmonica then. I went to a harmonica workshop run by a fellow called Roderick Teal, and I didn't learn anything. I didn't understand anything at all, but we stayed together as a group and eventually formed what was known as the Haven Harmonicas. And then I started to learn about harmonicas and how to play it. And then I started to teach people. The best way to learn things is to try and teach others. And so I started to teach harmonica. And in the harmonica group, we used to meet every Friday night, and we'd pick songs, and this is a very simple tune, but a lovely song with really good meaning, and the group used to play the tune, and I would sing thinking I was Paul Robeson. I didn't have a voice like him, but I used to sing the song, and then between each verse they'd play the tune, and then they'd play the tune while I was singing. And so was probably the first time I was sort of performing in front of other people with singing as a soloist. So.
And you continued in bands?
Well, the Haven Harmonicas continued for probably 15 years. We had up to 10 or 15 people. My biggest success was in my teaching. Teaching's really the thing that I do best. I'm just a fairly ordinary player, but I'm a good teacher. And I used to teach, and I taught a 12-year-old boy, Michael, came to me to learn in a class. And then he learned so well that he used to go to the circular quay of a Sunday and set himself up, and he'd earn $50 just playing harmonica from what I'd taught him. You know, he'd get the textbook out that I gave him and play, and people would pay him. And when he was 18, he rang me and he said, "Guess what, I'm at Tamworth, Ken. I've just won the golden harmonica." And I couldn't believe it. He's a doctor. He became a doctor in the end. And I saw his father just the other day, and he's still playing harmonica and he's still doctoring. He's doing great. But he'd been probably nearly 40 years of age now, but he was 12 when I taught him.
Well, let's now talk about the ukulele. When did you pick that up?
Well, I've been teaching harmonica, and I wanted to be able to play an instrument to go with harmonica while I was teaching. And so I tried the guitar, but I couldn't learn that. And then I went to a workshop at the National Folk Festival with ukuleles, and I thought, oh, this is the instrument for me. And so I started playing the ukulele in addition to playing the harmonica. And then I started teaching ukulele as well. And when I retired from my job as a driving instructor, when I was 65, then I started to travel up the coast every winter and teach adults how to play either ukulele or harmonica. And I'd go away for 2 or 3 months and teaching that. So ukulele's been fine. I started a ukulele group called the Shoalhaven Jamarama Ukulele All-Stars. And because we're all-stars, we took on star names, and my name was Montgomery Silverbeat.
Oh, really?
And a lot of people, was made up, one of the blokes made it up for me, and I thought, hey, that's a good name, that'll do. And a lot of people name me as Monty. They often, ukulele people call me Monty, because that's how they know me.
Your next piece is St. James Infirmary Blues with Louis Armstrong.
Yeah, well, it's not, Louis sings it, but he didn't compose it. It's just a real good bluesy number. I used to go to Bruthen in Victoria every February for their Bruthen Blues Festival. And I used to go every year and teach harmonica or ukulele there, and I performed St. James Infirmary Blues. I've got to say it wasn't very well received, because it's a very, very, very bluesy song, too, maybe bluesy for the audience, or maybe my singing didn't meet their approval. But I did it on stage, and I'm glad I did.
Let her go, God bless her, wherever she may be. She can look this wide world over, but she'll never find a sweet man like me.
Bragging.
When I die, bury me in straight-laced shoes. I want a box bag coat and a Stetson hat. John B., that is. Put a $20 gold piece on my watch chain, so the boys will know that I died standing back.
Thank you.
Armstrong and St. James Infirmary Blues. And Ken, that takes us to your last song, Long Tall Texan.
Well, they just recently come to it in the ukulele group. I've got a ukulele. I'm running a ukulele group now called the Bass and Bowlers Big Time Band. And there's more than 25 members, and they're really the best band I've been with because they're so enthusiastic and no narkiness at all. Everybody's just trying to enjoy themselves. And somebody suggested this song, and we started playing. I thought, this is a great song. What I like about it, it takes me back to my childhood, when I was 6 or 7, and I was a kid with a hat and a little toy gun, and I used to pretend I was Hopalong Cassidy or Tom Mix and a Long Tall Texan. When I'm singing that, I'm thinking, gosh, how many years ago did I reckon I was going to be a real cowboy? And here I am, singing cowboy.
And my last question for you, Ken, is there anything you would have done differently in your life, or maybe not at all?
That's a great question. I wouldn't have changed a thing. I know I've made a lot of mistakes, and I haven't necessarily learned from those mistakes, but I've always done what I wanted to do, even though it might have caused pain to people. It's actually why I am what I am now, because if I wanted to do it, I'd do it, even though it was hurtful, sometimes to me and sometimes to others, but I just did it. No, I wouldn't change a thing.
Thank you, Ken. It's been an absolute joy and pleasure to speak with you today. My guest today has been Ken Gates. Some might know him as Monty Silverbeat, but to me, he'll always be the Long Tall Texan.
Thanks an awful lot.